Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. Read by Liza Ross.
Tell me about Wind Gap.
Curry held the tip of a ballpoint pen at his grizzled chin. I could picture the tiny prick of blue it would leave among the stubble.
It's at the very bottom of Missouri, in the Boot Heel, spitting distance from Tennessee and Arkansas, I said, hustling for my facts.
Curry loved to drill reporters on any topics he deemed pertinent. The number of murders in Chicago last year, the demographics for Cook County, or, for some reason, the story of my hometown, a topic I preferred to avoid.
It's been around since before the Civil War, I continued. It's near the Mississippi, so it was a port city at one point. Now its biggest business is hog butchering. About 2,000 people live there. Old money and trash.
Which are you?
I'm trash from old money, I smiled. He frowned.
And what the hell is going on?
I sat silent, cataloging various disasters that might have befallen Wind Gap. It's one of those crummy towns prone to misery. A bus collision or a twister, an explosion at the silo or a toddler down a well. I was also sulking a bit. I'd hoped, as I always do when Curry calls me into his office, that he was going to compliment me on a recent piece, promote me to a better beat, hell, slide over a slip of paper with a 1% raise scrawled on it. But I was unprepared to chat about current events in Wind Gap.
Your mom's still there, right, Preaker?
Mom, stepdad, a half-sister born when I was in college, her existence so unreal to me I often forgot her name, Emma. And then, Marion. Always long gone, Marion.
Well, damn it. You ever talk to them?
Not since Christmas. A chilly, polite call after administering 3 bourbons. I'd worried my mother could smell it through the phone lines. Not lately.
Jesus Christ, Preaker, read the wires sometime. I guess there was a murder last August. Little girl strangled.
I nodded like I knew. I was lying. My mother was the only person in Wind Gap with whom I had even a limited connection, and she'd said nothing. Curious.
Now, another one's missing. Sounds like it might be a serial to me. Drive down there and get me the story. Go quick. Be there tomorrow morning.
No way! We got horror stories here, Curry.
Yeah, and we also got 3 competing papers with twice the staff and cash.
He ran a hand through his hair, which fell into frazzled spikes.
I'm sick of getting slammed out of news. This is our chance to break into something big.
Curry believes with just the right story, we'd become the overnight paper of choice in Chicago, gain national credibility. Last year, another paper, not us, sent a writer to his hometown somewhere in Texas after a group of teens drowned in the spring floods. He wrote an elegiac but well-reported piece on the nature of water and regret, covered everything from the boys' basketball team, which lost its 3 best players, to the local funeral home, which was desperately unskilled in cleaning up drowned corpses. The story won a Pulitzer. I still didn't want to go, so much so apparently that I'd wrapped my hands around the arms of my chair as if Curry might try to pry me out. He sat and stared at me a few beats with his watery, hazel eyes. He cleared his throat, looked at his photo of his wife, and smiled like he was a doctor about to break bad news. Curry loved to bark. It fit his old-school image of an editor, but he was also one of the most decent people I knew.
Look, kiddo, if you can't do this, you can't do it. But I think it might be good for you. Flush some stuff out. Get you back on your feet. It's a damn good story. We need it. You need it.
Curry had always backed me. He thought I'd be his best reporter, said I had a surprising mind. In my 2 years on the job, I'd consistently fallen short of expectations, sometimes strikingly. Now I could feel him across the desk, urging me to give him a little faith. I nodded in what I hoped was a confident fashion.
I'll go pack.
My hands left sweat prints on the chair.